Resuscitation After Cardiac Arrest, a Three-Phase Time-Sensitive Model by Dr. Myron L. Weisfeld and Dr. Lance B. Becker. This article proposes a three-phase model of CPR to reflect the time-sensitive progression of resuscitation physiology, which in turn requires time-critical interventions. The model suggests that the optimal treatment of cardiac arrest is phase-specific and includes 1. The electrical phase, which extends from the time of cardiac arrest to approximately 4 minutes following the arrest, 2. The circulatory phase, from approximately 4 to approximately 10 minutes after the cardiac arrest, and 3. The metabolic phase, extending beyond approximately 10 minutes after cardiac arrest. Importantly, in this model, the term phase is designated for the maximally effective and most critical initial therapy for that period. However, the time boundaries between phases are approximate and not precisely defined in the current literature. I'm Jen Martinelli, and this is Strangeful Things.
Ready. Go.
Will you come back to me?
Not so fast. What are these?
All right. I'm glad we don't have that weird last thing that startles me like in the other show. I'm
Jesus Christ.
A Katie Einstein, and we already have Jen Martinelli because she already read the three-phase time-sensitive model thing about cardiac arrest.
Right. Do you need me to... Go ahead. Do you need me to add something? Do you need me to add something to the other intro that says it's safe for you to talk now, Acadia?
Maybe. Maybe like a beep or a
bing
or something like something like that. So this episode is about ghosts, specifically the Enfield poltergeist. Now, what the fuck does that have to do with cardiac arrest, you ask? Mm. Well, for those of you that didn't go all the way back and listen from the beginning when we started talking about whether or not people believed in ghosts, the whole, like, our show is predicated kind of along the idea that most things are plausible, except for Jen, which just says, nope, 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 and ruins it and makes me have no fun in my fucking life. So, in order to head her off at the theoretical pass, I am bringing some fucking science.
Yeah.
Because Peter Brook Cadogan Fenwick, which is the most scientist-y fucking name you can get.
That's a pretty scientist-y name.
It's, yeah, you damn right. He's a neuropsychiatrist and neurophysiologist who's known for his studies of epilepsy and end-of-life phenomena.
All right.
Fenwick is a senior lecturer at King's College London, where he works as a consultant at the Institute of Psychiatry. He is the consultant neuropsychologist at both the Maudsley and John Radcliffe hospitals, and also provides services for Broadmoor Hospital. He works with the mental health group at the University of Southampton and holds a visiting professorship at the Riken Neurosciences Institute in Japan. Why do we give a shit about Dr. Fenwick?
Why do we?
The answer to that question is he has legitimately done scientific research into near-death experiences.
Oh.
And the reason that we talked about cardiac arrest is because if you're getting, like, CPR and shit like that because you had a heart attack.
Yep.
You dead.
You
are not alive.
You dead.
You are dead. So, cardiac arrest still kills, like, I don't know, fucking probably 6 to 7 billion people a year. Don't quote me on those statistics, but
6 to 7 billion. I wish.
if you're in a situation where you're trying to find fucking people who die and come back to life, this is the people that you want. You don't want people that are, like, you know, in fucking locomotive crashes because they're not coming back. But heart attack people come back all the time. Right. So this guy legitimately said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to study these people that died and find out what happened to them, and then
yes,
we'll find out if there's a difference between your consciousness and your body.
Right.
So if you're if there's still something going on after your body's dead, that's the whole thing. Because his point is, if that's proven, then everything about actual medicine has to at least pay attention to that part. You know what I mean? Like, forget about the fact you lose 6 ounces when you die, whatever, blah, all that kind of stuff. This guy's just looking at it from the standpoint of, this guy was dead and he came back to life and said he saw shit.
Right.
Which, if you just came back to life, the first thing you're going to... I don't think the first thing you would do would be, I'm going to make up a clever hoax. Like, so this is this guy's thing. So, I'm going to give you, Jen, a quote, because I want everybody here to understand that we're going to talk about ghosts, and it's not just fucking Casper and bullshit like that, and it's not people walking around that should actually have cameras on their heads instead of just holding them so that they always go, oh, I just saw something, I better put the camera on it, and all that other bullshit. There is at least one guy, although he's pretty old, and once he dies, he might be the only guy, who's legitimately trying to figure out, is there a difference between consciousness and physical life?
Mm.
So, as a way to do this, Jen will now read a story that got him kind of down this road from an interview he gave for Skeptico.com.
Okay. Into my consulting room came a man who had a cardiac catheter, and it had gone hopelessly wrong. His heart stopped, and if his account is correct, they were not prepared for this in the cardiac cath room, and there were specific reasons for this. There was a lot of turmoil went on while they tried to restart his heart. He told me he was watching this from the ceiling during the time his heart had stopped. He was extremely anxious about the whole thing, not surprisingly. He didn't have a full near-death experience. He left his body, watched the resuscitation process, went down a tunnel, met the being of light, and then essentially was sent back. The next day, the cardiac surgeon came up to him and said, I think we didn't quite get the information we wanted yesterday, so we'll have you again in the cath lab today. He was so traumatized by the whole thing, he just simply got up and left the hospital.
So.
I've got problems already.
What? What's the problem?
Says
first of all, my first problem is that you did not say that at all like an old British doctor.
I'm not going to do voices. I'm not a voice doer.
The next day, the cardiac surgeon came up to him and said, I think we didn't quite get the information we wanted yesterday.
Well, then you should
have you again in the cath lab today. He was so traumatized by the whole thing, he simply got up and left the hospital.
Well, if you can sound like that, why do you sound like yourself all the time?
I don't know. I get no credibility. I should sound like that guy all the time.
You should.
Here's what I think we should do.
Yeah, start talking like that at work. At first, they'll think it's weird, and then they'll be like, wow, Acadia's really like, you know, I got to respect him. He's very respectable. That's what they'll
He must be smart. He sounds like an old British guy.
Yeah, right? Anyway.
I disagreed with Brexit.
All right, go on. What's your problem?
My problem is, so a guy came in and said, I died and watched myself from the ceiling, and he goes, okay, and that's it?
Well, no. Then he did a bunch of fucking scientific tests and wrote books and shit like that. That's the whole point. I didn't just pull this guy off a tree.
I know, but like, you introduced this like, oh, this is the thing that's going to...
No, this is the thing that got him started into it.
Okay, fine.
He was like, well, what's up with this shit?
I don't believe it, so that's all I'm saying.
I know. Of course you don't. I don't even know why you work here. Like, it's just like, nope. Unless we do a murder where I can actually bring you somebody's head, you don't believe it.
Basically.
Well, next week,
carry on.
I'll bring you a head.
Okay, all right. Fantastic. So, I can't wait.
All right. So now we're at the stage where there's at least some proof, anecdotal, of course, that people that is dead can see stuff and do shit, and then they come back to life and they remember shit that they saw and did. That's this whole guy. So if if one is going to accept that premise, which I'm taking from your standpoint, you're not going to accept this premise. Like, so if your brain stops, if your heart stops, you're just dead. You're not anything. You're like a fucking toaster that's unplugged.
Well, yeah, once it fully stops, like, I believe that people think that things happen because your brain does stuff when your heart stops, like, before it fully shuts off. Like, I believe that your brain tries to explain it to you somehow and makes up stories that you then remember. But I don't think that you have a soul in your body that comes out and floats around, or that you're flying up on the ceiling looking down with eyeballs onto your body. It's ridiculous.
Why?
Because it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Does everything have a soul? Does my cat have one? Are there cat souls flying around the room right now looking at me? It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't necessarily think that they all just hang around like 4 feet off the ground.
I think it's silly. I think the whole concept is silly.
Well, you're about to get fucking sillied right in the face then.
Okay. Because... Can't wait.
More science. I had to go to the worst website on the entire internet. Oh, boy. So bad. That I am going to give it to Jen, and she has to click on it and look at it right now, because it is bright green text on a black background with pulsating animated GIFs of UFOs.
Jesus. Why are you making me look at this, you monster?
Because this is our next... part of our bibliography. See, this HPI International... HPIparanormal.net, which is made by a fellow named Paul Dale Roberts, who knows a lot of shit.
But he's somehow sending it through time from 1993. I don't know how he's doing that.
The big thing he's advertising on the front page is a vampire ball from October 2011. So obviously he can also travel through time.
Wow, amazing. How amazing for him.
And the things over on the right that look like links aren't... They're not links. They're just weird pictures. There's like pictures. He was on Penn and Teller's bullshit. Probably not on the good half of Penn and Teller's bullshit show.
We don't even know if he was on it. We just know that he stuck a picture there.
Well, yeah, but you can't lie on the internet. I mean, why would you have pulsating... Look at the UFOs and look at the pulsating things that say new.
So seriously, everybody, if you haven't looked at the site or you can't right now for a moment, I just need you to understand, we're not exaggerating. It's black with neon green lettering, some of which is flashing at me, possibly giving me brain damage. And there's twirling UFOs.
There's a high probability of brain damage.
Yeah, it's pretty high. I'm pretty sure
it's high.
Damage.
It is very high.
All right, we got it.
But they have a store.
Oh, God. What do you buy there?
Websites? His books. He writes books about ghosts and shit. And you are about to use some of his...
Oh, Jesus.
...wisdom, because ghosts get split up into certain kinds of ghosts, and it's all science-y, and you're going to... Because you are the queen of lists.
Yes, I am.
You are going to tell us what the kinds of ghosts are.
So since you already wrote this down, can I stop looking at this terrible website?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Brain damage has stopped for now. Okay, so types of ghosts or whatever. Residual haunting. Residual haunting activity can occur when something traumatic or stressful occurs, such as a murder or a rape. Negative energy is literally blasted into the atmosphere, causing the atmosphere to imprint or record the events. Okay. I mean, I can't even get through this paragraph. Like a recording tape, it will play the events over and over again. The entities involved in this residual haunting activity are unaware of their surroundings. This is not an intelligent haunting. There is no interaction between you and the entity. Okay, so let me get this straight. The theory is that the atmosphere, literally the air particles, the molecules of air, right?
Yeah. No.
Record the events and then play them back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you see the problem with this, right?
No. It could have been a rock or a house. It doesn't have to be the air.
None of those things can play back events. You know what can play back events? Your brain. Somebody could be staring at the air and think that they see something because their brain's telling them, but it's not really there. It's not real,
You're
ruining
the show.
Okay.
I'm just on.
Okay, poltergeist activity. Scummy. Did you call me Scummy? Oh, Scully. Oh, I'll be Scully any day. She's the best. I'm 100% Scully. Okay, shut up. Next, poltergeist activity. Poltergeist activity is usually caused by an adolescent teenage girl going through puberty stages. Seriously? During this stage of development, a young girl can harbor an extreme amount of inner energy. This energy can be projected with the mind, which can cause tapping sounds, the movement of objects, lights flickering off and on. Poltergeist activity usually originates from a human being. Okay, so it's not a ghost at all. It's just a person. It's like somebody with ESP. It's period people.
Yeah, going through puberty. You get your period and all of a sudden you ruin everything.
Oh my God.
It says right here, it's science. I can't help it. This is not me. This is Paul Bell Roberts. I'm trying to be a good researcher. Now, go on to demons.
It's
in the most unlikely sentence ever.
Yeah, exactly. This is real science. Now, go on to demons. Okay. Demons are entities that never... Just for the record, I don't believe in poltergeist activity. Okay. Demons are entities that never had a mortal human form. Origins, extraterrestrial. Why? If you believe that God and his angels are from the, quote, heavens, that would make them extraterrestrial. If Satan and one-third of the angels rebelled against God's kingdom, then Satan and one-third of the angels became demons, and the one-third of the angels that became demons are also extraterrestrial. Excuse me. That is why they never had mortal human form. Einstein said that Einstein said that E equals MC squared. Energy
That's
can be
Albert con- Einstein, not me.
Yes, correct. Thank you for the clarification.
No relation.
No relation. Absolutely no relation. Energy can be converted into matter and matter into energy. Demons are pure energy entities. They are described in three different ways: angelic, horrific, or black mist. Okay. Why don't I have my sound effects ready to go? There's so many things I
need
to do right
now. You know what? Because your face is a sound effect, and I can actually hear your eyes rolling in your head.
Good. I hope you can hear my eyes rolling. What?
And if you keep sassing back, you're going to have to look at the website more.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wait, I have a question. Hold on.
Is this real life?
Okay.
Yes, it is. And Paul Dale Roberts is a successful ghost catcher and website and webmaster.
Mm-hmm. He's a webmaster?
Yeah, I would assume that he made this gem. And he...
Okay. I'm a webmaster,
chases
too.
Ghosts.
Just FYI.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
More so than him.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Because at least our stuff is more updated than 2011. A little.
I think that tonight, completely by myself, I could make a website that's better than that with no help from
I think it would take a week to make a website as bad as this.
Well, yeah, because it would be hard. You'd have to like really try to make it so bad. So yep. good job, Paul. Okay. So I have a lot of problems with this. Demons are pure energy.
Pure energy.
Okay. Is there... Can we reference a definition of the word energy?
What do you mean?
Okay.
Hell.
Energy is the strength and vitality required for sustained physical or mental activity, or power derived from the utilization of physical or chemical resources, especially to provide light and heat to work machines. So that's what demons are? They're pure light or heat? But they have brains and they talk and they have feelings and they walk around and they have arms and stuff?
I'm not 100% sure if they have arms.
Okay.
It doesn't specify in the literature.
So there are three types: angelic, horrific, and black mist. So are the angelic demons also just angels? Or are there angels and then angelic demons, which are something else?
No, I think that the angelic demons are just angels and that there's no, I don't know why they got put in the demon group. Maybe just because they didn't want to put demons in the angel group.
I don't even know.
They're trying to be inclusive.
Okay.
Unlike you. And Black Mist sounds like a drink. Go on.
Okay. Intelligent haunting is the next thing. Mm-hmm. When our mortal form dies, which is the only form we have, the aura that constantly surrounds our bodies, which doesn't exist, leaves our bodies. We lose 6 ounces on the instance of death. Acadia, this is her. My brain is dying.
It is written
this.
Down.
My
therefore,
brain,
it is a fact. You
my
keep
brain
going.
Is dying. What is this 6 ounces? Perhaps it is energy leaving our body. Our soul. This energy, the aura, or you may even call it your soul. He just said soul.
He said
carrying,
perhaps. Go on.
Is science. Carrying the information of what we used to be. If it can do this, then why couldn't it also carry our intelligence? If it can carry our former intelligence of our previous life, then it should be able to interact with us intelligently. When we see this aura, we call it a ghost. If this ghost is able to interact with us, is aware of us, can touch us, can communicate with us, then this is an intelligent, interactive haunting. Okay, stop.
What? What's wrong with that?
So, you understand that everything that he said here just depends on the last thing he said. So, he's proved nothing. Right? Why couldn't it carry our intelligence? Because he already informed us that it carries information, which he just declared.
They're all questions. These are scientific postulates.
No. He says, this energy is carrying the information of what we used to be. He states that as a fact. And then he says, if it can do this, then why couldn't it also carry our intelligence? You didn't prove that it can do the first thing, dummy. This guy's not a scientist. I'm pretty sure he got his scientist... I'm pretty sure he got his scientist badge out of like a Cracker Jack box.
None of this.
Okay.
None of the things you're saying are making me think that there could not be a ghost of an Indian somewhere in a forest that just punched a bear in the asshole.
I hope they did, because that bear probably was an asshole. Because as we know, as we've been informed by our new Secretary of Education, bears are a major threat for school
children.
Oh, that's
true. I didn't think of that.
And as we know, Stephen Colbert, ultimate threat down, bears.
So, you know what? Then the ghost did us a favor.
Thanks, ghost. Thanks, all Indian right. ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow people or shadow creatures. This type of haunting activity... This is a type of haunting activity that has no real explanation. They are different from ghosts. They are usually shapeless dark masses. That sounds like Black Mist demons to me, Guy. Are you doing your science
right? No, that's obviously then, by virtue of that, the demons must have arms.
Oh my God. Mostly seen with your peripheral vision. They are known to do things that are different from ghosts. They can move between walls. Okay, stop. I can move between walls. Does he mean through walls? Jesus, this guy is stupid. Okay, they can move through walls, I assume he means. They have no human features. They wear no clothes except for the hat man / hooded figure shadow creatures. People who encounter them have a feeling of dread. Clairvoyants, which aren't real, that encounter shadow people say they do not feel they are human and consider them non-human. So basically, if you see a shadow in your peripheral vision, then ghosts are real. That's what
if you have
said.
A shadow that's trying to punch a bear in the asshole, then yes.
Well, but we just said that was the intelligent kind.
Said yeah, but the same thing. I mean, they didn't say that
they don't have human features. They don't have arms. They don't have arms. You're not even paying attention.
They said he had a
false
hat.
Science. You're not even paying attention to his science. His very important science.
Hat. Well, all right, shapeless except for the hat, I guess. All right, so maybe shadow people are the least known, you know, like fish that are way, way down deep in the sea. We don't know a lot about them. Maybe these are the coelacanths of ghosts.
Do you know why? Because they're just shadows. They're actually just shadows.
Not
and that's why there's nothing to know about them.
If they move around and scare you, that's different.
Okay.
So we went through these kinds of ghosts, right? Mm-hmm.
This is according to this guy.
Yeah, this guy who served in the army from 1973 to 1976.
Who cares?
Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry. Being in the army for 3 years makes you an expert on ghosts and also guarantees that you're smart? That's definitely not true.
He has also been involved with the entertainment industry as a professional dancer and doing dancing appearances in movies and commercials during the 70s and 80s. So suck on that.
None of this proves anything to
me. None of those things.
I don't want to do any of those things. I'm too smart to do all of those things.
And he wrote a comic book.
Great. I drew comics when I was a kid. On all my family vacations. Therefore, I know everything about ghosts. Ready for me to lay the knowledge on you? They're not real. The end. Show over. I love torturing you. It's so great.
It's just going to be more and more fucking murders. It's just going to be... It's going to fucking pile up. The murders are going to stack up like cordwood because they're the only... Or else I'm going to have to get fucking... Whoa! I'm going to have to get somebody a little more... open-minded to do these shows because you're ruining everything for science. So
okay, just do it. Okay, just do it, you goddamn bitch. Oh, you bitch. Stop questioning everything. Oh, that goddamn bitch. Oh, that goddamn bitch.
That is perfect. That is what runs through my head all the time.
Yes.
When you talk or I think about you talking about ruining the fact, all right, except for the shadow people and the poltergeist one, which he kind of says aren't even ghosts, but it still applies. See, when I do research for these shows, I'm not just spraying all over the place. I'm aiming like a fucking laser beam.
Oh, God. That is gross.
Here we go. This is what we're going to talk about. And you're going to play us right into the story that I'm going to regale you with.
Oh, boy.
So
I'm going to
give it to him.
Play us. So I'm reading the next part?
Yep.
Okay. Taken from Wikipedia, because we don't have big budgets, as like follows. Those
fat cats with their books.
Oh, that's right. Those fancy people with their fancy book learning. Which, by the way, I'm now acting like I'm not, I just said I was smart, now I'm acting like I don't read books. Okay. We play many roles here at Superficial Gallery. Okay. The Enfield Poltergeist is the name given to the claims of poltergeist activity at a council house in Brimsdown, Enfield, England, from 1977 to 1979, involving two sisters, ages 11 and 13. Some members of the Society for Psychical Research?
Yep.
Is that the name?
Yep.
Okay, England. Whatever. Such as inventor Maurice Gross and writer Guy Lyon Playfair believed the haunting to be genuine, while others, such as professors of psychology, a real word, so I'm going to believe the second one, Anita Gregory and John Beloff, were unconvinced and found evidence the girls had faked incidents for the benefit of reporters. Oh, surprise. Members of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry included stage magicians such as Milbourne Christopher, Joe Nickel, and Bob Cootie investigated the incidents and criticized paranormal investigators for being overly credulous, identifying various features of the case as being indicative of a hoax. The story attracted considerable press coverage in British newspapers such as the Daily Mail and Daily Mirror, and has been the subject of books, featured in television documentaries, and dramatized in horror films.
All right. Number one, you would probably be on the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry.
Duh.
And number two, I cannot imagine a shittier place. Like, their Christmas party must be the worst fucking Christmas party in the history of committees, because they're all like, probably, oh, true. There's no Christmas. Like, just, like, straight up, who would you rather go out drinking with? The fucking green website guy or the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's the skinny on the Enfield haunting.
All right. Lay it on me.
And here's why people may have heard of it. Like, if they... It's recently been made into a movie. I think it was 2 years ago. The Conjuring 2
mm-hmm.
was based on this case. And the reason that this was made as the second movie is because the Conjuring movies follow Ed and Lorraine Warren. Now, Ed and Lorraine Warren were a married couple. He's dead. She's still alive, though she's hella old. She's like 88. Very controversial. They are American paranormal investigators, and they have been associated with some very, very, very famous, well-known hauntings. They founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, not that other fucked up word that that guy said, psychical research,
for
psychic research, but they founded it in 1952. They authored numerous books about paranormal, and they were involved in the Amityville Horror, and basically everybody kind of knows who they are. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, this pretty crappy ghost show Paranormal State, where these kids from Penn State went around bumbling around in the dark going, "What was that?" She would show up from time to time on that show to tell them, "Oh yeah, it's definitely a demon." That apparently, you know what, now that I think about it, demons must have arms, because that's how they grab you.
Clearly.
It would make no sense if they didn't have arms, because then they would be very easy to get away from. So,
well,
that's solved. So, the involvement of the Warrens made it kind of a bigger deal, and so the basics of it are like this. Peggy Hodgson, a single mother, lived alone with her four children. And as far as I can tell, Council House, which was referenced in your intro, is like public housing. Okay. So they lived, Margaret was 12, Janet was 11, Johnny was 10, and Billy was 7. And they lived happily for a long time at 284 Green Street, Enfield.
All right.
So now, to tie the Warrens to this, I am going to read a quote from Ed Warren before he died in an unrelated thing. I don't know what he sounds like, so I'm just going to have to wing it.
All right.
"Those who deal with the supernatural day in and day out know the phenomena are there. There's no doubt about it. Therefore, when people tell me they don't believe in ghosts and spirit forces, what they're really saying to me is they're not familiar with the data on the subject. Yet the data is there, should one care to look. In fact, much of it has been collected under such rigid conditions as to make a lot of other scientific research pale in comparison. For example, take a case Lorraine and I began investigating this past summer, 1978, in Enfield, England, wherein human spirit phenomena were in progress. Now, you couldn't record the dangerous, threatening atmosphere inside that little house, but you could film the levitations, teleportations, and dematerializations of people and objects that were happening there. Not to mention the many hundreds of hours of tape recordings made of these spirit voices speaking out loud in the rooms."
So basically, he just owned you. Because he said, if you don't believe in ghosts, it's because you don't know about all the proof that ghosts are real. So I bet you feel pretty stupid now.
No, I don't feel stupid.
Yeah, well,
just a guy saying stuff doesn't mean anything to me. Who cares?
All right. Anyway,
all I want to point out is that I just want to point out that at a certain point in time, we had a show about Bigfoot. And I want to point out that one thing that people decided was evidence that Bigfoot exists is they heard a clapping sound. So just because people think something is real doesn't mean it is.
That was Bigfoot's doing it.
Yeah. No, that was belly bucking, according to you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was, I forgot.
Which is even, I went right even for the, worse.
It's been a while, so I forgot. I'm sorry. I went low on that one. It was belly bucking.
When,
I'm sorry.
When you go low, I go high, Katie.
Yep, that's right. All right. So they had this semi-detached home at 284 Green Street, North London, Enfield. Mm-hmm. Janet, who was 11, and her brother Johnny started hearing noises in their room. Mm-hmm. You know, bumbling around, the normal things that I guess ghosts do when they're getting ready to do some serious ghosting. Then they got really scared because a chest of drawers slid across the room.
Oh, of course.
Now, the mother was pretty freaked out by all this. And this comes from her speaking to the newspaper that later after that night that the dresser moved, they started hearing a bunch of unexplained knocking inside the walls and the floors. Now, did they do what every other asshole in every horror movie ever did?
Into a dark room with no weapons and trap themselves?
They called the cops.
Oh, imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Police officer Carolyn Heaps visited the home.
Mm-hmm.
And her affidavit confirms that she witnessed a chair slide across the floor with nobody to do it. Jesus. And she testified that she was convinced that nobody there had touched it.
Okay, so?
What do you mean, so? That's a credible witness, a cop, that saw a chair move with nobody to move it. Chairs don't just move.
Well, so says whoever, so?
What do you mean, so says whoever? So says a cop.
So? What? So now cops are the height of truth-telling in the world?
Okay.
Okay.
How much dumb shit does a cop fucking see every day? Horror and awful, like...
Do you think that maybe if someone set something up to look scary and you weren't expecting it, you would just believe it because your brain wouldn't be looking for the trick?
All right.
Okay,
so
carry on.
We're going to address these little things that you're bringing up here. Now, Maurice Gross, who has a freaking fantastic mustache, who is the leader of that psychical research place, they spent a lot of time in the house, and he had more than most people as far as encounters are concerned. He recorded some crazy shit inside the house, and some of it appeared actually on a BBC documentary, because the hardworking and reputable journalists at the BBC felt that this was significant enough to actually make a documentary about, as opposed to just saying it's a bunch of made up shit, which is why the Enfield Haunting is considered one of the best documented and researched paranormal events that exist. Because I'm not just doing, like, remember we did the demon one? Did the demon one because...
Wait, we did
extensive,
the
like, lots of people not fucking around. Like, not just, oh, look over there, it's a ghost, isn't it?
You mean
and then
the,
everybody turns around, oh, no, it's gone.
You mean the exorcism one?
Huh? Yeah.
The show about the exorcism? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the episode we did about St. Louis?
Yes, you said we did the demon one. I don't know what that means. I'm just clarifying.
Oh, well, there was a demon that possessed her. That's what I'm saying. What do you exorcise? Right. You don't exorcise.
Right, but
a
then
fucking shadow person, it's a demon.
God. Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, my point is that we don't take the fucking bottom feeder cases here on this show.
Right.
So anyway, part of the documentary showed lights going on and off on their own and a slipper flying across the room and hitting the guy with the awesome mustache.
Oh, no.
And this was part of the documentary that, you know, they couldn't find anybody that had thrown it and whatever like that. Mm-hmm. Now, the neighbors, Peggy and Vic Nottingham, also had shit happen to them. They told the BBC that they heard the knocking sound that everybody else had heard. One time, Vic said, a single Lego flew up and hit him.
Oh, Jesus.
He looked around, like, the first night of the haunting, when she went to the neighbors first, he looked all around the house and couldn't find, you know, anything that was going on. So he was the one that called the cops. Everybody was scared. The mother said she saw a pool of water appear from nowhere while standing in the kitchen. Doors were opening on its own. And once weirdly a cleaning brush set itself on the toilet.
Okay.
So maybe the ghost was trying to say, clean your toilet, you dirty British lady.
That's probably right.
Then somebody else also claimed to witness the activity. He lived down the street. He was told that he went to check on the girls at one point, and he found that one of them was, quote, positioned oddly on top of a piece of furniture with her leg resting on the wall and fast asleep. I include that in this story because
what?
Don't send him to check on your fucking ghost children. Yeah. Like, I don't like him one bit. I don't think it should have been allowed.
Right.
So now...
Go ahead.
All right, what?
No, go ahead. Carry on.
So now, we're going to go... The Society for Psychical Research people, Maurice Gross, and his name is not Guy Lyon Playfair, because that doesn't sound fancy. It's Guy Lyon Playfair. That immediately ups his credibility.
Sounds
they both cooler. Reported curious whistling and barking noises coming from Janet's general direction, though not necessarily from Janet.
Whistling and barking?
Yep. Now, okay. The Playfair guy said the haunting was genuine, and he wrote a book about it, and that there was an entity to blame for the disturbances.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But, he also outwardly doubted that the kids were always telling the truth and believed that they were fucking around on some of the things. And they eventually came to the conclusion, the guys that did the bulk of the research, that they knew some of the shit was faked, but some of it wasn't. Like, they put video cameras everywhere, and these were like 1970s big ass, you know,
right.
Video cameras. And I'll put some pictures up, I guess, if we can, just because if you're gonna see, like, there's a picture of Janet supposedly levitating in the bedroom, but it also looks like a kid who might have just been bouncing on the bed. Hard to tell. My favorite part of the entire thing is that you know that it's 1977 because the fucking room is wallpapered with Starsky and Hutch posters. Like,
oh boy.
They loved Starsky and Hutch.
Well,
like, a lot. Which probably angered the ghost. So anyways,
clearly
they had all this, they had all these cameras all around, and at one point they actually straight up caught one of the things that the ghost would supposedly do was bend spoons, and at one point the camera caught the girl bending spoons in the kitchen.
Okay.
And he had also seen the girl like hitting the ceiling with a broom and fucking around with his tape recorder. And so they had said that some of the stuff was faked, but not all of it was faked. And the way they explained it and the reason they said that even happened was because these kids were feeling a bunch of pressure because there were like news vans there all the time, and they felt like that if they didn't like make the house seem haunted that they were going to get in trouble or something like that.
Alright.
And this is what the kids said, like, as kids. This wasn't like grown up, now I got to think of a way,
right.
You know, because yeah. They admitted to the reporters and stuff like that they had, you know, made some of the shit up. And then the guys from the research society got him to retract it, and all the other ghost hunters made fun of him for getting tricked by some little kids.
Oh boy.
So that was a problem. Now we're going to get to, at this point now, two things that I feel like are pretty important. One of them is, there is a theory, which ties back to the thing that Green Website guy said.
Jesus.
In the BBC documentary, mm-hmm. Janet's sister Margaret who was older, said that all the siblings had experienced the paranormal, but Janet got it the worst. And what they came down to was, because she had just started getting her period, that's what wound up the ghost thing, which kind of ties into what the dude said, that poltergeists are caused by kids through puberty.
But the dude said poltergeists literally are the kids just projecting energy.
Creating all this energy or whatever like that.
But it's not a ghost, it's energy from the kid. Like, the kid is magic. Okay.
This is why I'm... There's a reason why I had you read the list, Jen.
All right.
Because we're about to experience a dark Dipsy Doodle double cross.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because they found out, and we're gonna find out how they found out, that apparently some guy named Bill had previously lived in the house but died, and even though nobody in the neighborhood knew that this dude Bill had lived in this house or died in this house or anything like that, Bill's son eventually showed up and was like, yeah, no, this is where my father lived, and yeah, he died in that chair that the little girl said he died in.
Okay.
Which, now you're getting into the, you know, can this be fake? Sure. Can an 11-year-old girl go to the British Hall of Records at Hogwarts and find out that an old guy named Bill lived in the house however many years before? That is definitely possible. But the reason that they found all this shit out was because from time to time, Janet would speak, or Bill, rather, would speak through her.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to listen to right now. This is Mustache Guy Gross interviewing the little girl who's all ghosted up. Now, this is an 11-year-old girl, and I want you to listen to the voice and listen to everything, absorb it, drink it in. And then on the other side of it, we'll talk about what we just heard.
Okay.
Let me hear you say my name. Come on. Let me hear you say my name. That's not my name. Come on, my name's Morris. Let me hear you say it.
Morris.
Say Dr. Belloc. Come on, let me hear you say that. Come on, let's hear you say Dr. Belloc.
Could you close that door down?
Say Dr. Belloc. Now, if you squeak the bed, I can't hear you talking. Now, say Dr. Belloc. Come on. Come on, say it for me, Dr. Belloc.
Dr. Belloc. Right, that's good. Come on. Shut up the door. I'm 72 years old. I come from Jewish heart, pray God. And I have cried in the church where Rena lives. And all my friends come from there as well. And we all make a day and go to the pub. And then we pick your house because I used to live here. And I will tell you the law. And if you don't get anyone else, just send Mr. Hook and Mr. Blayback.
I want you to tell me whether you remember what happened to you when you died. Just before you died and just after you died.
days before I died, my day. I went blind. Then I had an hemorrhage, and I fell asleep, and I died in a chair in the corner downstairs.
Bill, if you're there, would you answer me the following question? What have you done with Denise's 30p?
Headed out to the radio downstairs.
Sorry, Bill, can you say that again, please?
Headed out to the radio downstairs.
Right, Bill, I'll go and look. Thanks so, so much. Why can't Janet fool you?
I'm invisible.
You're invisible? Why are you invisible?
So much G-H-O-S-T.
Did any friends go with you?
Yes, all of them. All the dogs, 68 dogs.
So what do you got 68 dogs for?
So that they can protect me from you killing me. They can guide you right off.
How can we kill you, Bill?
You can shoot me off.
Now how can we shoot you if we can't see you, Bill?
By praying to God.
Sorry, I didn't hear that, Bill.
By praying to God.
By praying to God. So, what you're saying is we could get rid of you by praying to God.
Yes.
Okey-dokey.
So now, obviously, the voice of a ghost old man.
No.
Well. What are you laughing about?
Obviously, a... First of all, I'm just going to allow that it's true that that's what this recording is of and blah, 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 blah. We won't debate those parts.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay. So, secondly, I would like someone, perhaps one of our listeners, to explain to me why the only possible explanation for a kid making weird voices is possessed by dead ghost old man. Why is that the only thing that can be the kid? That's the explanation. It's the only one. Why? Why is
well,
the
tip off was that she said she was possessed by a dead old man.
Yeah, but I could say I'm possessed by a dead old man and start talking in a creepy voice right now. I'm not.
I died in a chair.
No, I mean, am I a ghost? Could be. Probably not.
I'm not going to lie, that scared the fuck out of me. Like, that's literally the scariest I've ever been on this show. And it sure made me so happy, because it would mean that you were dead in a chair.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh my God, that's worse than open your mouth. That, if you do that to be, if you do that ever on any show, ever... the show will just be over. Everyone will die. Holy shit.
Well, so I'm pretty sure I could have made the same sound when I was 11, so I'm just saying it doesn't mean anything.
You struck upon something that is a big piece of this, because remember, documentaries, lots of research, people going back and forth on this.
Yep.
Now, academic Anita Gregory was skeptical of the validity of the family stories, noting that Janet would not allow anyone in the room during her alleged possessions.
That's suspicious, Janet.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. And Janet admitted in 1980
yes,
that she had faked occurrences once or twice.
Oh.
Fool mustache guy. And every time she faked it, she got caught.
Well,
now,
that's a problem, Janet.
30 years later, Janet defended her story. After a skeptic said humans tend to misinterpret incidents, Janet said, "It would always be with me in here," as she pointed to her head. And she also shared one of the most memorable moments from her experiences, saying a curtain near her bed once wrapped itself around her neck. There was times when it was fascinating to see, but when it was happening to you... dot, dot, dot. So now...
What?
Now, I'm just going to read... I don't usually just read parts, but I'm going to read all this part here because it's a bunch of fucking science shit. In a television interview for BBC Scotland, Janet was observed to gain attention by waving her hand and then putting her hand in front of her mouth while a claimed disembodied voice was heard. During the interview, both girls were asked the question, "How does it feel to be haunted by a poltergeist?" Janet replied, "It's not haunted," and Margaret interrupted, "Shut up."
Okay. Again, I just want to point out that according to the other expert guy, a poltergeist is not something that haunts you. It's something that you create with your girl puberty period energy.
Again,
okay, carry
these
on.
People are using 1970s terminology and they do not understand about the dark dipsy doodle double cross wherein the demon bill ghost intelligent devil man probably had a hat, died in a chair, and sat...
That wasn't scary, by the way. You did not scare me. Yes.
So, I'll continue. So, Janet said it wasn't haunted. Margaret said, "Shut up." And everyone said, "See, they were lying." They also noted that the alleged poltergeist voice that originated from Janet was produced. Now, this is the part. You're a professional singer in that, you know, sometimes somebody will throw a dollar in that guitar case that you have by the bus station because they feel bad for you, right?
We get paid real money to do our gigs. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Gigs. Anyway.
Skeptics
have a... Listen, I need your... You're an expert on something.
Then stop giving me shit about it, you dick licker.
So, Janet... the alleged poltergeist voice that originated from Janet was produced by, quote, false vocal cords above the larynx and had the phraseology and vocabulary of a child. What the hell are false vocal cords above the larynx?
I don't know. Is it what you use when you sing in falsetto?
Let's see
what the internet says. Hold on a second. False vocal cords. The vestibular fold... ventricular fold, superior or false vocal cord, is one of two thick folds of mucous membrane, each enclosing a narrow band of fibrous tissue, the vestibular ligament, which is attached in front to the angle of the thyroid cartilage immediately below the... Okay. The epiglottis. Hold on. The lower
really
border...
really getting in there now.
I'm trying to figure out... The vestibular folds... I don't care about any of this. I'm trying to figure... Okay. In some ethnic singing and chanting styles, such as in Tibet and Mongolia, the vestibular folds may be used in co-oscillation with the vocal folds, producing very low-pitched sounds. Conversely, people who have had their epiglottis removed because of cancer do not choke any more than when it was present, because I guess their vocal things do something. They use it in Tibetan chant and Tuvan throat singing. As well as musical screaming and the death growl singing style in forms of metal. So do you know what the sound
or
is now?
Or if you're an 11-year-old that made up shit for no reason.
Or if you're me and you just scared the shit out of Acadia 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, that's no good at all. That will be stricken from the fucking record, that's what. So.
No way, that will be played. That's going to be a sound effect now.
Oh. So. Maurice, so, look, false vocal cords. There's a lot more boring back and forth about this that, like, she would talk like that for a really long time. To the point where they'd be like, no, I don't care. Even if she was faking it, she'd get worn out. Like, cause you know how you can't do certain things with your voice for long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, what I'm trying to say is there's the skeptic side, and then there's the, yeah, but, okay, I'll take your skepticism. How could this be? Because if we're gonna get into the nature of skepticism and debunking things as opposed to bunking them in a second. So
the nature of it, wow.
Anyway, Maurice Gross, the mustache guy who started the whole thing, made tape recordings of Janet and believed that there was no trickery involved. But the magician guy, Bob Cootie, wrote, he made some of the recordings available to me, and having listened to them very carefully, I came to the conclusion that there was nothing in what I had heard that was beyond the capabilities of an imaginative teenager. Said the magician. Like, what? Who brought in the magician?
Yeah, well, he's doing better than the scientist so far.
Now we're going into skeptic Joe Nickel. And you might have actually seen, if you've ever watched a show, a documentary about ghosts.
I have not.
Joe Nickel is basically the you of every good show there is. Because he just comes in, that's what I'm saying, So, he examined the findings of the paranormal investigators, and big surprise, criticized them for believing too much stuff. One of the guys that, Playfair, the other guy, Guy Lyon, he said that, as always, Janet's lips hardly seemed to be moving, but Nickel said, well, if they were moving at all, that means that she was doing it. Gross said that a tape recorder broke that was attributed to, like, only a ghost could have broken this tape recorder.
What?
And I'm now just telling you what the guy with recorders? The mustache said.
Oh, Jesus.
And it appeared, and the boss of another guy from the Society for Psychical Research, Dave Fontana, described the tape recorder thing as something which appeared to defy the laws of mechanics. But Joe Nickel said it was merely a common threading jam that happened to old reel-to-reel tape recorders.
Oh, so not a ghost then.
The guy said that it happened to these tape recorders, and this is where we're going to get into the skeptical part of it. Nickel states that a remote control still camera. The photographer was not present in the room with the girls. Time to take a picture every 15 seconds that supposedly recorded poltergeist activity on moving film for the first time was shown by investigator Melvin Harris to reveal the girls' pranks. A photo allegedly depicting Janet levitating in midair actually shows her bouncing on the bed as if it was a trampoline.
Oh.
This guy, Harris, said that they were examples of common gymnastic and said gymnastics, and it said it was worth remembering that Janet was a, quote, school sports champion. You are a champion of sports.
Oh, you are a sports champion.
Yay, sports ball.
Yeah, I was going to say sports ball.
And then Nickel also said that demonologist Ed Warren, who we heard back in the beginning, was basically full of shit and already always exaggerated and made shit up. And always tried to say if there was just a regular haunting that there always had to be a demon involved. So now, in an interview with the Daily Mail, you and I are very familiar with the Daily Mail. Why? Yes. Charlotte McKinney. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
The grown-up Janet said that she and her sister had faked 2% of the shit that went on.
2%?
That's the number 2%. She came up with?
That's what the girls said. Nickel, in typical, this is why the skeptics party is no fun, he said in another publication, the evidence suggests that this figure is closer to 100%. Huh? I just owned those noobs. Like,
oh, boy.
Since he's a, quote, magician experienced in the dynamics of trickery. Because, honestly, this guy is douchier than the ghost people.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said, oh, well, the ghost only did stuff when it wasn't being watched. And this was just shit that, you know, kids did. And everybody is stupid. And my name is Jen Martinelli. And there's no such thing as ghosts. Blah, blah, blah. And the whole poltergeist thing was the antics of a little girl who wanted to cause trouble and who is very, very clever. And at a certain point, it was intimated that since the... Remember I had mentioned this is public housing, that the mother had put them all up to it to try and get a bump up to better public housing.
Why would it get you a better bump up?
I don't know, because if ghosts? You said, oh, well, we can't stay here, Governor, because there's a ghost, right? Man, up my daughter's bum. And
the
they
accents.
Would go, well, all right, then you can go live in this castle, I suppose.
Did you say there's a ghost up my daughter's bum?
Well, that would probably get just, people on the job
it's
fast.
It's just reminding me of previous episodes of the show where you talk about how your Nana would tell you to keep ghosts out of your butt or whatever, and Britain, I never understood what that was about. We were
what?
Confused. I don't know. Never mind. Carry on. Something about keeping the devil out of your bum or
That's
something
a
like
totally
that.
Different show. Oh, alright. So now
Well, you're so obsessed with putting things in butts. I don't know what your problem is.
So then it's Valentine's Day. So then
Happy Valentine's Day.
So now they did a featurette for the movie The Conjuring 2. And since Janet was still alive, she said, we was good children. We had no knowledge of the history of the house before the happenings. I was used and abused. There was levitation. There were the voices. Incidents happened that were quite life-threatening for me. The emotions, the thought of it, I think if I had to go through it again, it would kill me. Now, here's the last piece of this little puzzle that is going to be, I consider it part of the rebuttal. Janet was approached by both the Daily Mail and I forget what the other big newspaper, somewhere back in the writing. And they offered her big, fat money to admit that it was a fake. So now, you're an 11-year-old girl. You're one of four kids. Your mother's working her ass off. You live in public housing, and you're getting a lot of money dangled in front of you by a newspaper to admit that what you're doing is, look how smart you are. You fooled everybody. We're going to give you all this money if you just admit that you tricked Mustache Guy and all these other people, and they didn't take the money because they said they were not faking it.
Right, so now I will call back to an episode of Waiting for the Train where we discussed little kids who were convinced that they flew on airplanes with frogs and were attacked by robots because their teachers convinced them that they were by asking them the same questions over, or their social workers convinced them they were by telling them they were, basically. Remember that?
Yeah,
Operation Repressed Memories?
This wasn't a repressed memory. It was, like, happening at the time.
Jesus.
Carry on. See, and this is the thing. This is where I'm going to go with it. Now, this is where I'm going to sum this thing all up. Are we all right for time?
We're at 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Okay, so we're wrapping it up because the fact is, like, all the facts of the case are out there. So now, here's my problem with the whole skepticism game in general, because that's as much of a fucking racket as ghost hunters. And here's why. Running around flapping your fucking face hole saying that there's no such thing as ghosts, and your only proof for something being fake is that it could be faked is ridiculous.
Your face is ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Ridiculously handsome. But my point being... And I'm going to use it just an example of... Okay, well, we put a camera in this attic and the chair fell over and there was nobody in the attic. And so it was a ghost that knocked the chair over. Now, a skeptic does not say, well, no, I examined the tape and I can clearly see a fucking shaky mop handle come out from the left side of the frame and knock over the chair. All the skeptic has to do in all of these instances is say, well, no, they could have tied a string around it, or they could have rigged a tiny explosive charge to just go off at a certain amount of time, which would put it out. Like, all the skeptic has to do is come up with some fucking cockamamie way that it could be not a ghost, and then they're all like, see, it's not a ghost. And that, to me, and I'm sincerely asking, that does not seem like a way to fucking do that kind of argument. Like, it's I understand the fact that the burden of proof is on the person that's saying that it's a ghost, mm-hmm. but I don't think the whole beyond a reasonable doubt thing, you can say, well, no, maybe he didn't kill her. Maybe it was Dracula or some shit like that. May cause reasonable doubt, may not. But these fucking skeptic people claim to be coming at it from a scientific standpoint, which, if they look at a piece of evidence that they cannot explain, why do they get to go, but it's obviously faked because there's no such thing as ghosts?
Well, because there is no such thing as ghosts.
Absence of proof is not proof of absence.
Acadia, this is how
proofs work. It's not.
This is how proofs work. If you can't prove it, it's not proven. That's how proofs work.
But if I show you something...
You can't just say it could...
I'm talking about the skeptic side.
Yeah, but I'm trying to explain to you the whole logic of what you're saying. If you... If there's any way... Like, in math, if there's any way that, you can make something not, like, bear out, then you can't prove it. You have to... You can only prove it if you can prove it. There's only one correct way to prove, like, an equation or whatever, or an... those complicated shit when you're doing proofs in math. You have to be able to
prove it. Yeah, I know what a proof in math is. Yeah,
so if you can't prove it, it's not proven. So it's not... So that's that. You can't prove it. So it's not... That's the end.
Okay.
I'm trying to defend my side, which you are saying you don't understand. I'm saying that's all I need, is if you can't prove it to me, then I don't believe you. That's the only
thing
I need. Was
there a big bang?
I don't know. There was something. There wasn't a guy sitting on a cloud in heaven with a beard.
Not talking about God. I'm talking about that science.
Well, it's a theory. I understand the difference between a theory and a proven thing.
Right. So if a theory is, no one knows what the fuck that thing was, but the thought of ghosts has persisted since the beginning of time.
So has
and the... Science has not there's nobody, if there was some fucking science guy, which I don't understand why there's not, all of the, like, Amazing Randy and all the other people and everything like that, they just say, if you can come to me with actual proof of a thing, I'll give you $1 million, or I'll give you this, I'll give you that. And I watch a lot of Magician Secrets Revealed, so I know how they do this stuff. My point of it is that if there's something that all the skeptics look at and say, I don't know the fuck how that happened. Like, you have taken all of the variables out of the equations, all the fakery, all the way that this was. If they actually witness something that, according to all of the right methods, they said, well, I don't know what that was, but I know it wasn't a ghost because there's no such thing as ghosts.
Okay, here's an example for you. Here's an analogy. Have you ever watched the show Penn and Teller's Fool Us?
What's it called? Not bullshit?
Penn and Teller's Fool Us. It's a show called Fool Us.
Oh, is that the one where they, like, test the magic tricks and see...
They have magicians come on with a trick to see if they can fool Penn and Teller. And if Penn and Teller can't figure out how they did the trick, then they say, you fooled us, you win the prize, right? So a lot of times magicians come on, not a lot, not like constantly, but fairly often, they successfully fool them. Meaning they don't know how they did the trick, but everybody still knows it's a fucking trick. The guy on the stage isn't a wizard doing actual magic because magic isn't a real thing. That's what I'm saying.
I'm with you 100%. I agree with you.
But they're not proving that they can't figure out how they did it, so they're not able to prove that it's not a actual magic, but it's not.
But the person on the fucking stage is not trying to prove that they can do actual magic. They're trying to prove that they can do a trick that Penn and Teller have never seen. That's completely different. Like, I get where you're going with it. If the person that got up there said, my name is Albus Dumbledore, and I'm about to show you actual magic... If I'd the like fact that Penn and Teller can't figure it out, the guy came on, because if a guy could do actual magic, he would not need to go on a game show to win money. He could just go do magic and get his own money. So I get the concept of it. I'm saying if it's a ghost, you can't reproduce a ghost. I mean, I guess it's unless it's in the atmospheric particles, like in a residual haunting. But you can't reproduce it. So they have, from a scientific standpoint, there's no way you can prove it because you can't reproduce it. Like if you took it's the
you know, here's what I think. I'm gonna issue a challenge to the universe. Because I don't believe any of this shit. So any ghosts hanging around, apparently they're all over the place listening.
Don't do this.
If you want to prove you're real, you're gonna have to fucking walk into the room and talk to me, because I'm not gonna believe in you unless you do that. If you do, then I will say that you're real. But I know that won't happen because you're not. Dun dun dun.
I'm losing. This is how I lose co-hosts. You're going to get tit slapped by a ghost. You're going to try and do your scary voice about the scare to scare him away. And you're not going to be able to do it because they will be too fast. What I would actually like to have is a scientist explain why my... Because I'm not saying that I know for a fact I'm right. I'm saying that if there's evidence, if there's a bunch of things that you can, like, I was watching that magician show, and it looked like the fucking guy was flying all over this parking lot, and you couldn't tell, except that it was just wires, and you could totally tell. And every time they cut somebody in half, that's why there's no fat magician assistants, because they always got to cram themselves into little places that where the blades aren't and put someone else's feet there so they can wait. Like, there's a million ways that they do all this shit. And a lot of it, fascinatingly, is just, I'm going to hide behind the other assistants so nobody sees me get out of the box or get into the box. Like, some of it is so basic that you actually, like, feel like an asshole after you've ever been to an actual magic show and been amazed by things.
Right.
But if all that stuff, if the circumstances surrounding the test are, okay, well, we know this camera was real. We know there was nobody within, like, 100 miles of this place, and whatever, 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 this thing happened in a place that is said to be haunted, blah. If things just fall over all on their own, and I don't mean like trees or old people, I mean like inanimate objects, then we as science cannot explain why that fell over.
God.
Does that... I want a scientist to tell me why that doesn't mean that the possibility for there being a supernatural reason exists. I'm not saying that it means that there's a ghost. I mean that the, well, it can't be a ghost because we know there's no such thing as ghosts.
I'm sure you can find some wackadoodle person who calls themselves a scientist. I'm not looking for somewhere. A wackadoodle.
I'm saying that if somebody says there's ghosts and you say prove it, and they can't, then you can go, okay, well, go try again and find me proof that there's a ghost. If the proof that there's no ghost is that nobody has proven there's a ghost yet,
yeah,
that seems like a shitty way to do it, because
well, that's how logic
they didn't know quarks existed for a long time, but then they did. Like, you can sigh all you want.
But they weren't discussing
the fact that there's shit that science doesn't know until it knows it.
It's just true. We're waiting, science. We're waiting, science. We're waiting. Science and ghosts. We are issuing a challenge. We are issuing a challenge to science and ghosts. Science, prove to Acadia there's no ghosts. Ghosts, prove to me that you're real. Challenge issued.
I don't even want the scientists to prove that there's no ghosts. I want the scientists to explain to me how the scientists can say there's no ghosts if they don't have any proof other than the fact that they've never seen any evidence of a ghost.
It's just that the kind of importance I have, it doesn't matter if I don't do it.
Mm-hmm. We now need an insurance guy because of the murder insurance bonus.
What murder insurance
we
bonus?
Need to sign the thing from the other show where if you get if I take an insurance policy out on you, which I'm currently doing, and then
you can't take an insurance policy
I say, hey, I'm going to throw another 20 a month down so that I get paid double if she happens to get murdered now by a ghost.
You can't do that, actually. You can't take out a life insurance policy on me without my cooperation.
Oh, you'll cooperate.
Oh, will I? Will I pass the medical exam as an old lady? It's not going to be a very reasonable fee anymore.
All you have to do is do that voice to the doctor, and he'll be like, oh, you want to do whatever you want, I'll sign it.
I'm healthy!
Oh, my God. That was the most unhealthy-sounding thing I've ever heard. So we need insurance guy. Or gal, scientist, yeah, and sexist. Apparently a new host, because we got nothing.
All right, well, we're at 123 now. We got to go.
All right, well, that's we're hiring. Go to patreon.com/Acadia and donate to the our battery of shows and entertainment so that we can then give you whatever you donated back as payment if you do stuff.
Yeah, that.
That seems logical to me. That way we can just sustain whatever you put in, that's what you get out. And people that don't have any talent, I just have to keep the money and pay for the hosting. So there's that. You can follow me on Twitter at Acadia, and just go to about.me/Acadia or about.me/JenMartinelli. You can find all the places you can have us. And I did actual Snapchat this past weekend where I installed a shower head and hung up curtains and did a little how-to.
Fantastic.
So, I guess that's it. Now we have definitively proven what the worst website in the world is, and that there are ghosts.
That's true. No, the second part's not true. All right, that's it. The end. Goodbye. We got 10 seconds left. You can't talk anymore.
There aren't not ghosts. Oh, bye. Jesus.
Bye.